going to talk about how private associations run the world. And so some of you guys get to understand what private associations are, but you probably see the world through a different lens after you get to know what these associations all entail. So what can private associations be called? Well, they can be called a club, a society, a family, a union, or even a board. And so some of these subsidiaries within the structure that are incorporated are controlled by associations, but a lot of these are unincorporated. Some of them are incorporated. And so on a micro level, some people living in a condo building, that's an association. And of course, HOAs, right? That's an association. We have trade unions. That's a group of employees using their collective association and grouping in to regulate employers, and in even some cases, issuing their own licensing. You know, the bar and medical associations, they issue their own licensing and regulation as well. And so on a state level, everyone in the state of New Hampshire is in an association. Everyone in Texas is in an association. Remember, an association can be a relationship. And so in Tennessee, we have the Tennessee Franchise and Tax Board that regulates business in Tennessee. And by the way, one of the reasons not to do business in Tennessee. And so most states don't have a board like that, right? But Tennessee and California do. Well, like I said, a board like the Tennessee Franchise and Tax Board, that's a private association. Not the state of Tennessee itself, but a group of self-elected people governing this association. You know, the Mormon Church is an unincorporated association, and there's case law I've shown in my past video, PMA myths and case law, that displays this in court documents that I presented. Now, the Mormon Church has the association, right? But they have an umbrella system consisting of the association, the 501c3, sole corporation, regular corporations, and trusts. And so on a macro level, we have militaries. Those are private associations within a nation state.
There's a law on the books. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, audio's good.
Yeah, there's a law actually in this whole county, I believe, Salt Lake County, that says no building. Now you go downtown and you see this massive, massive building next to the church. We call it the Utah Vatican, basically, right? It's got this giant trip Mormon thing, and yeah, it's private, you know, but they let people on. And then next to it, right down the street, is this giant, giant corporate building, and that is the corporate offices of the Mormon Church. And you're like, what the hell is going on here? There's actually a law, just so you understand how powerful these guys are. There's actually a law that no corporation can build a tower or a building higher than the corporate offices of the Mormon Church.
Oh, wow. Interesting. You got to wonder what the reasoning is. Do they want to be the highest supreme leader?
It's Masonry. Just so it everybody is. Understands what Mormonism, Masonry sort of, yes, is its own version. But yes. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, and the Masons, and we'll be getting into Masons, by the way, later in the presentation, they have the dark art of architecture called megadoplomancy. And in this dark art of architecture that they use throughout the world, by the way, Tartaria, that's a myth. It's a distraction from megadoplomancy, what they don't want you to know. So all around the world, state capitol buildings, buildings like Clint the Scribe, they all have the same features. They have features of the megadoplomancy that encompass trapezoids and other shapes. They're sacred geometry. But really, these things actually are designed to capture demonic energy and create hexes. And so they're all over the place. And so we have that. But go ahead, Clint.
They also, like, I had a friend that took a picture of every disgustingly satanic thing on the it was actually the court building, I believe, or the city hall, the old city hall. This old building that just is, it's the most evil, you got to go see it yourself, but it's the most evil looking building I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it has all of that, like the word you're saying.
Megadoppelmancy.
Most of all, what you find are two things. In this case, children are big here, okay? For some reason, the harming of children in Mormon thing is big. It's all over this church and all over, yeah, the Mormon buildings are children's faces or children being mutilated, harmed, you know, the anger. It's really, really disgusting. The other thing you're going to find a lot in places like Philadelphia and more like City Hall buildings, you're always going to see slaves, or if you will, the common class, holding up the building, holding, yep, up a pillar, holding the weight of the thing. Sometimes it even thanks the low status, you know, commoners for being the support of the elite. And I'm not kidding. You go to the city hall in Philadelphia. One of the most satanic things I've ever seen in my life. And you know, just check out the Argus Architecture. Check out, yeah, the 13-sided, what do you call it? Leo and
interesting number too.
You know, all the birth signs. The birth signs. What is that called?
Zodiac.
The horoscope. That now.
Zodiac. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's got pretty the 13. The 13, the actual zodiac,
right,
which is 13 sides. So it's very, very interesting to look, you know, don't just look at these buildings as a whole, look very closely. And all the symbology, especially in the Mormon buildings, is just, I mean, it's all Masonic. It's all just, yes, really disgusting stuff when you look closely. So we're not joking around here when we say that the world is run by not only associations, membership, often clubs, mm-hmm, but also very evil. This is how evil people operate. I mean, yes, I'm sorry to say that this is where their power really lies.
Yeah, so we're going to go through what that all entails and looks like. And so on a macro level, we have militaries. Those are private associations within a nation state that Clint likes to talk about a lot, the nation state. And I was doing some market research the other day because I trade the capital markets. And I came across this group called the Economic Club. And so Jerome Powell, last month, he's the chairman of the Federal Reserve. Last month, he did a conference at this place called the Economic Club of Washington. And this club, the more I looked into it, I found that it was a syndicate of people from hundreds, almost thousands of different entities influencing politics, business, economics, and even brags on their website how they influenced the diplomatic community in these things globally. And so this is a quote from their website. Featured speakers in recent years have included the presidents of the United States, Colombia, and Panama, the prime ministers of Finland, Israel, and Singapore, a former prime minister of the Great Britain, speaker of the U.S. House, heads of the Federal Reserve Board, every secretary of the Treasury since 1986, other cabinet members and government officials, leaders of Fortune Global 100 companies, David Rubenstein, co-founder and co-chairman of the board of the Carlyle Group, which is a very prominent private equity firm, is the current chairman of this economic club. And Clint, I think you mentioned in a past video recently, yeah, there's a association you mentioned in DC.
Well, it's the building that houses them. Okay.
Okay.
I think what we have to first say is that the idea, or we could say the Patriot mythology, right? The idea that there are still countries just kind of has to go out the window. It's like if you took countries and you scooped them out like a cantaloupe and you got rid of all the good stuff and you just left the shell, and then you filled that shell with a bunch of private associations, clubs, and other lawmaking agencies and such, then you have an idea of what has happened and what the nation-state model really entails. It is a complete destruction and rebuilding of what we have romantically always been taught is the, the structure of states and nation states don't even really, states aren't recognized. The states of the United States are not recognized internationally. Okay. We're nothing. You have to understand. It's like a corporation. Like the corporation has a different branches of its full thing, it has
Subsidiaries.
telemarketing and it has this. So that's kind of like the states of the corporation. Well, England and Scotland and Ireland and California, we don't exist to the international body. There's only United Kingdom and United States. Those are the only two states that exist. Okay, that's what's happened. And I've been warning about that. I never understood it, but I've been warning about that for a long time. It's in my book that the United Nations is pretty much like the United States, where all states are captive, sort of voluntary members of this international body. And so the states of the United States, really what's happened is that the nations or nation states that took them over have become the states of the United Nations. And that's what we're looking at today. You have to understand that's how the world, this is how the world is running. All right.
Absolutely.
So to really get into that, you have to also understand, and I'm sorry, I'm going to look at my screen over here because I pulled these up. Now, what we're talking about is the Hall of States. In the Hall of States, which is this is all in Washington, D.C., just a very, very, very short distance from the capital, the Washington, D.C. The Council of State Governments is very interesting. Founded in 1933, the Council of State Governments is the nation's largest nonpartisan organization serving all three branches of state elected and appointed officials. The mission of this is to champion excellence in state government, and the organization executes that mission through four major platforms: the national office, the regional offices, its justice center, which brings together state and local officials and subject matter experts to discuss challenges and best practices. Now, best practices, in my video that I did way back when on globalism and Agenda 21, best practices are something that is created privately, put through Congress publicly, and then now, like for instance, all most countries are falling into the same comprehensive annual financial report or audit system because they're all corporations. They all have an audit, and they, so all the rules of all the nations are now becoming uniform, and they have uniform law commissions and all these different things. And then they have all these organizations. So what you have to know is that for every official that you have, all right, American Probation and Parole Association, Association of Air Pollution Control Agencies, Cannabis Regulators Association, Military Interstate Children's Compact Commission, National Association of State Facilities Administrators, National Association of State Personnel Executives, Technology Directors, National Emergency Management Association, Hispanic Caucus of State Legislators, State International Development Organizations, Women in Government, you name it, my friends, there is a private association that is housed in this particular thing. It's called the State of Council, State, the Council of State Governments. But when I'm talking about the Hall of States, okay, it's called the Hall of States or State Services Organization. So SSO is what it stands for. Again, the staff of the state services organizations or SSO welcomes you to the Hall of the States. Conveniently located just blocks from the U.S. Capitol and Union Station, the Hall of the States is home to many Washington offices of the 50 states. Washington offices of the 50 states. What is that? What do you think that means? What is a state? What are they talking about? Are they talking about a real government, a real the people? No, we're talking about the incorporation of the privatization, the completely, I mean, what we have is so far removed from what we think we have, is my point. The Hall of the States is home to many Washington offices of the 50 states, U.S. territories, and associations of the state officials. SSO, which manages the 225 square feet of the office space that makes up the Hall of States, is proud to offer a broad range of services to more than 90 organizations. Founded in 1976, a joint venture of the Council of State Governments, the Conference of State Legislators, and the National Governors Association. Essentially, now they all have a private hall that they can meet in. So you're talking about, I mean, I just to give you an idea of the collusion, I think I spoke about this before. When the National Governors Association meets, what is the national, I mean, what the hell is the National Governors? Why is there a National Governors Association, right? Who we are, our mission. NGA is a boldly bipartisan. Through the NGA, governors share best practices, speak with a collective voice on national policy, and develop innovative solutions to improve state government and support the principles of federalism. All right, if you know anything about American history, federalism is the last thing we wanted. Okay, that what that's saying is that all 50 governors basically get together and promote the national agenda and say, screw you states, we're not statesmen, we're of the nation state, we're of the international body, we could give a crap. And so what they do is they bring back, they form, they collect laws. For instance, the National Governors Association owns the copyright on Common Core. They created it. Remember Common Core, how controversial it was? Well, imagine that your state governors are getting together, getting this law together, coming back to their states, and then promoting that as a uniform law. That's why it passed in almost all 50 states before it got any real, you know, attention or people like me going after it. Because holy crap, how do you fight? How do you possibly do anything at a state level or a federal level when you have such collusion, I mean, to me, this is criminal. These are governors of the states, right? And every single office, the mayors, the, you name it, right? Founded in 1908, NGA is a collective voice of the nation's governors. Collective voice of what are supposed to be several private states, foreign from each other, so that this doesn't happen, so that laws, if I don't like a state, I can go to another and expect, because I expect better laws for my, but if all governors belong to the same association, promote the same laws, and all of a sudden all states, through the uniform law commissions of the world and through the uniform law commission that exists in the United States, I mean, you understand there's over 150 agencies, bodies, associations that make law. You think, of course, because of the Patriot mythology, you think Congress makes law, right? They're the lawmakers after all. No. See, now you have to look at, besides all of this, where you have governors accepting a Common Core thing from other, you know, organizations, copywriting it, and then bringing it back to their own states, right? That should be a crime. And I don't know why it's not. I mean, I do know why it's not, because, again, what we think is true is not, is real. Yeah. So we go and we look at probably one of the most important things, the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. American Legislative Exchange Council, America's largest nonpartisan voluntary membership organization of state legislators dedicated to the principles of limited government, free markets, and federalism. Limited government and federalism are totally different things, all right? You do not want an overarching king or DC and also have free money. This makes sense. So what is ALEC? I mean, I could read their description, but because I did so much on it, over 2,000 members, nation's largest individual membership association. Okay, I said organization before. Oh, now they're telling you it's an association. But it's an association of state legislators. You're Congress. So you're telling me that Congress goes and meets, not only are they of the state, supposed to be statesmen for the state, not for the Fed. They go into Washington, D.C., they meet. Then they go to a private club, a private association, right? America's most dynamic public-private partnership. Oh,
there it is.
What does that mean? That means that your legislators don't do crap when it comes to writing law, because what happens is ALEC is a bunch of corporations actually run by the Koch brothers, right? They're heavily involved in this. So you're talking about corporations and think tanks and private membership clubs and associations from all over the country and all over the world. They write legislation. Okay, they call them model legislation, just like they model laws and model this, model that, right? They write the laws. They wine and dine with over 2,000 members. So they wine and dine your congressmen. They present them with the law. And all Congress does then is put, you know, red tape in there. Well, I want $1 million so I can build myself a shrine, or I want $10 million so we can build a public park and maybe dig oil, or you know, whatever. They add their stuff to it, but the basis of the law is not coming from Congress. It's coming from a freaking private association of corporations and think tanks. This is how your laws are. I mean, you want to know why everything's so screwed up, why everything's so corporatized, why everything so protective of private associations? Because they're the ones that make all law. Congress does not make law. They sign. Do you remember when they said, well, we need to pass this this bill without reading it? Right? It was the health care bill, I think.
Uh-huh.
We should pass this because we don't have time to read it. Let's just pass it. They don't. What I'm trying to tell you is whatever you think this country is, it is so far removed from whatever it is you think it is. So we're talking about a complete takeover from the private side of things of the public sector. There is nothing of the public sector that isn't run by collusively. All the members of the public, the ones we elect, are also members of private associations that are housed literally in the hall of states. Let me just read one more thing here. Here is the, when I look at the hall of states, it says our clients, all right? Now, you'd think that a client would be a person, maybe even a corporation. Well, you'd be right. It's just that their clients are Alaska, Arkansas, California, Connecticut, Florida, Guam, Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, and down and down and down. These are corporations. These are nation states. You have to understand everything has been corporatized. States can't be their clients. There has to be a artificial structure that was created, like we're saying, you have to have a person to participate in the commerce, right? Yeah. And then the list, there's colleges and universities, which are another whole other subject and a very, very large source of private associations.
Yes.
Right? Then you have associations, our clients' associations. And when you go down, you're going to find medical, you got language and hearing, urological association, California water agencies, metropolitan planning organizations. These are associations. California attorney generals, they all get together, right? California state military reserve, employment, security, education, and research, pilots association, governor's policies. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There is no office of government. The sheriff's, you've probably heard of the sheriff's association.
Yeah.
Sometimes they call it a fraternity. That's one word you missed, fraternity.
I forgot, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, this is so far beyond what any of us can ever have imagined, what has happened to what we call government. What it's become is something so far removed from government of the people, by the people, for the people. There are no people. It's corporation. They're it's gone. So this is why we're telling you that all the power lies in the private, because the public is specific. I mean, as if you can't tell that if every public official has a private association where they accept model legislation from corporations and other special interest groups, I mean, that's all they're there for, is to accommodate the commercial interests of all these different organizations, corporations, international bodies. That's all government has become and was set up for in the first place, really. Over the last 400 years, that's what it's been, you know, being transformed into. So what is the power? Why are we telling you that unless you go private, you're in limbo, you're in nothing land, you're under the auspices of the private by being strictly in the public? Your hands are completely tied, because who makes public law? If you even say that I know who makes public law, you're wrong. I mean, I would call you on it, because I would ask you to list all of these organizations, associations, fraternities. That is who's making the law. All Congress does is drink their wine, smoke their cigars, and sign the bills that were made by ALEC and other private associations. Now, that's the reality of your situation. Now, you want to continue, again, to believe in the patriot mythology. You want to follow the gurus who say, you know, worship the Constitution. They say, Constitution suspended, sorry. Or you can start doing what is done. You're not going to get rid of this. Unless you're going to form an army and going, you're not going to get rid of this. You're
well,
not
even
a militia,
if you form the army, you still couldn't put it do
right.
this. Yeah.
No, you'd have international United Nations army come in here to defeat you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's their union. That is their association. I don't know what to tell you, folks. You know, if you want, again, if you want to continue with the lies that we've all been told, that's fine. But this is the reality. And all of this is sourced. You can look it up yourself. But you got to start. You got to get out of the dream mode. You got to get out of the delusion, the grand delusion that's been set up, because things are very different.
Yeah. So speaking of internationally, you know, we have groups that make the alternative news a lot the past years. We had the Bilderberg group, which I found out about when I was 12 years old, and I was fascinated by. And it's what kind of got me into this kind of research really early on. And so we got the Bilderberg group, we got the Club of Rome, we got the World Economic Forum. But what powers are controlling these groups that I've listed and Clinton's listed? What could it be, members of secret societies controlling even the members of these subsidiary associations? And so this takes us to the mystery school cults that have been around for over 1,000 years. And so the first one I want to talk about is one that we all know, the Freemasons, the Freemasons, the Sons of Light. That's the translation in French of Maison. And so everyone who enters the lodge swears an oath to support the Constitution of the Grand Lodge of the state and to conform to the laws of any lodge of which he shall be a member, and also to obey all regular signs, summons, or tokens from any Masons, our bodies of Masons now, whatever he may be told. Before taking this oath, after he does so, he is taught that the authority of the lodge is absolute. The covenant is irrevocable. Notice that word, irrevocable. And his obligations.
Trust.
Yes. And his obligations are supreme. In general, in the Inris on or at the Freemasons guide, we read, quote, the candidate entering the lodge is on the point of binding himself voluntarily, absolutely, and without reservation forever. Webb's monitor says the covenant is irrevocable. Again, that word that's used in trusts. Even though a Mason may be suspended or expelled, though he may withdraw from the lodge, journey into countries where Masons cannot be found, are becoming subject of deposit government, that persecute a communicant of bigoted churches, that denounce Masonry, he cannot cast off or nullify his Masonic covenant. No law of the land can affect it. No anathema of the church can weaken it. It is irrevocable, unquote. Again, the same Masonic author says, quote, the first duty of the reader of the synopsis is to obey the edicts of his Grand Lodge, right or wrong. His very existence as a Mason hangs upon a obedience to the power immediately set above him. Failure in this must infallibly bring down expulsion, which as a Masonic death ends all of the unpardonable crimes in a Mason's is a contumacy or disobedience, unquote. Now, another thing I want to read. This is from Morris Dictionary of Freemasonry. All eminent members of the order and high in the authority, and some of those who whose works are in nearly every lodge and necessarily have some effects on the members, quote, that this surrender of free will to Masonic authority is absolute within the scope of the landmarks of the order and perpetual may be inferred from an examination of the emblem, the shoe or the sandal, which is used to enforce this lesson of resignation, unquote. Another one from Mackey, Lexicon of Freemasonry, page 183, quote, disobedience is so subversive of the groundwork of Masonry in which obedience is so strongly inoculated that the Mason who disobeys subjects himself to severe penalties, unquote. I bid, quote, a Grand Lodge is invested with power and authority over all the craft meaning magic, within its jurisdiction. It's the Supreme Court of Appeals in all Masonic cases, and to its degrees unlimited obedience must be paid by every lodge and every Mason situated within its control. The government of Grand Lodges is therefore completely deposit. While a Grand Lodge exists, its edict must be respected and obeyed without examination by subordinate lodges, unquote. Another one from Morris Dictionary Freemasonry, page 90 or page 29. For ourselves, we deny as Masons that any civil government on earth has the right to divide or curtail Masonic jurisdiction. When once established, it can only be done by competent Masonic authority and in accordance with Masonic usage, unquote. From the Grand Lodge report, quote, a due summons from the lodge or Grand Lodge is obligatory upon him, and should he refuse obedience, he will be disgracefully expelled from the society with public marks of ignominy that can never be erased, unquote. So I have a few more I'm going to read. This one's from Oliver's Signs and Symbols of Freemasonry, page 142. Quote, hence we find that the masters, authority in the lodge, is as deposit, I think I'm saying that word wrong, disposit, as the sun in the firmament, which was placed there by the creator, never to deviate from its accustomed course till the declaration is promulgated that time shall be no more, unquote. Mackey's Masonic Jurisprudence, page 510, quote, treason and rebellion, also because they are altogether political offenses, cannot be inquired into by a lodge. And although a Mason may be convicted of either of these acts in the course of his country, he cannot be Masonically punished, and notwithstanding his treason, our rebellion in relation to the lodge, to use the language of the old charges, remains indefensible, unquote. Another one from Mackey, Masonic Jurisprudence. This is from page 344. Quote, as a presiding officer, the master is possessed of extraordinary powers which belonged to the presiding officer of no other association, unquote. Now it's important, that last part. Another one, quote, the system of Masonic law has little the Republican or Democratic spirit about it, unquote. That's from Morris's Webb's Freemasons Monitor, edition, revised edition, page 195. Now, this one is probably the most important, everyone. This is taken from the Missouri Grand Lodge report from 1867. Quote, once a nation, always a Mason. Once a Mason, everywhere a Mason, however independent either as individuals are, as lodges, whether grand or subordinate, and we are each and all truly free and uncontrolled by anything save our ancient laws and constitution. Yet no Mason can be a foreigner to another Mason. We are all equal citizens of one common government, having equal rights, equal privileges, and equal duties, in which government, thank God, the majority does not govern, for our order and its very constitution strikes at the root of that which is the very basis of popular government. It proclaims and practices that the will of the masses is wise and good and is such to be obeyed, not that the majority shall govern, but the law in effect above mentioned, ancient law, shall govern our tenant. And it's not only that no single man, but no single body of men, however wise or numerous, can change in any degree. One single landmark of our ancient institution, our law, is strictly organic and it cannot be changed without being destroyed. You may take a man to pieces and you may take a watch to pieces, but you cannot alter his organs and put him together again. You do the timekeeper masonry is the living man in all other forms of government, mere convenient machines made by clever mechanics for regulating the affairs of a state. Not only do we know no north, no south, no east, no west, but we know no government save our own, to every government save that a masonry, and to each and all alike, we are foreigners. And this form of government is neither pontifical, autocratic, monarch, agile, republican, democratic, nor despotic. It is a government per se. That government is Masonic. We have nothing to do with forms of government, forms of religion, our forms of social life. We are a nation of men only bound to each other by Masonic ties. As citizens of the world and the world of Masonry brethren, to each other of the world, over foreigners to all the world, besides the above, is a Masonic address, in a nutshell, is the compressed essence of Masonic life, unquote.
So, comments?
There's so much in there to unpack.
Well, But I mean, if you really listen to what you were just saying, isn't that, I mean, if you compare what they're saying there, this is why you have the anti-Masonic party as a political party. This is why the Utah was not going to be recognized as a state, and why they didn't want Mormons in Congress, because Mormons also take, because it is Masonry, they take an oath yes. to the church, that is the corporation, above all things. You're going to Congress, and you're already part of a nation. See, this is the hard part. There's no such thing as a nation. And that's what they're telling you right here. A nation is yes. a spiritual connection between things. When the nation state is created, that nation becomes a corporation, an entity, and starts taking over everything. The nation is the compact, the brotherhood, the fraternity. Now, let me read you something that will absolutely put a very shiny bow on what all of that you just read, because here's the truth about the United States. Here's the truth about every nation, everything that's ever been created by constitution. What is the constitution? It's really the constitution of a debt. It's the perfection of debt. All right. So now I have a copy because my friend's dad was somewhere in Ohio. Now, the difference between, say, California and Ohio and back east, everybody knows about Masonry. Masonry is very common. That people just know if you're in the business, if you're high in business, you're probably a Mason. Okay. Out where I grew up in California, these things aren't that well known. Right. So the part of the country understands the old fashioned kind of thing about me. Part of the country doesn't. So it's very shocking, I think, for a lot of people to hear. It is stated, according to the Masonic Holy Bible, Red Letter Edition, Masonic Edition, Cyclopedic Indexed King James Bible, published by the John A. Herzl Company in Chicago in 1942. Here's what it says. This is one of the first inlaid, you know, beautifully, artistically, you know, done pages, like the old Bibles used to be. Here's what it says, quote, George Washington, the founder of this country, was the first Grand Master of Masons of this Commonwealth, comprising the 13 original states of this land of liberty, founded on the principles of brotherly love, faith, hope, and charity, not the biblical kind, the vital breath of which is individual liberty and an equal opportunity to all of its citizens. Of the 29... I'm hearing an echo. Of the 29 major generals in Washington's army, 24 were Master Masons. Of the 37 brigadiers, 37 were Master Masons, proving that this land of liberty was founded by Master Masons. Now, as then, Masonry's challenge, listen to this carefully, folks. Now, as then, Masonry's challenge is the Holy Bible, its teachings from the center to circumference, symbols of the everlasting. What is the one thing that is like kryptonite to the frickin' Masons? It's the very thing that they use as what they call the furniture of the lodge, something they don't actually touch, right? Frickin' Bible is Masonry's greatest challenge. The Washington Monument is built of stone contributed by all the nations of the earth, meaning, I mean, I would probably say that's Masonic nations, right? Spiritual brotherhoods of the earth to honor the founder of this republic. From Arlington, it looks like a giant spike which God had driven, saying, "Here I stake a claim for the home of liberty." Now it says one other thing on the same page. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 53 were Master Masons. Now, let's talk about this wonderful United States that we're all, what is a constitution? Well, all constitutions are Masonic, I'm sorry to say. All right, so look, again, I don't know what to tell folks who either don't believe that or don't have a problem with that. But I want to tell you again, a private association formed this country. Do you understand? A private association that is connected with all other private associations, and wherever they go, in whatever land, whether there's a brotherhood there or not, they are always in the nation of the Masons. That includes your Mormons. That includes, okay, we're not, I don't know, again, how to express this to people, that whatever you believe about the country, and it's completely opposite of the that story that we always have been told and promote. We always worship the Constitution without reading it, apparently. So look, again, this is the model that runs the world, whether it's secret societies, as they say. Now, what is the great secret of secret societies? Well, one guy, his name was Captain Morgan, got his book around here somewhere. He figured it out real quick, and he went public with what the great secret of these secret societies was, and he actually got his throat slit for it because he took the oath. You want to know what that secret was? To put it in a nutshell, it's just petty organized crime. Okay, why do police officers, for instance, join the fraternity? Well, why don't they ever get in trouble for their crimes? They're killing people. Why don't they, you know, that's because they're in a fraternity called Masonry. The badges that they wear on their uniform that represent that fraternity are Masonic in every way.
Yes, the Eastern Star.
And they go in front of a judge. They make their little symbol. The judge, therefore, being of the nation before he is of any other nation, will let the police, unless the crime is outrageous, will let the police officer go because he's a brother. Crime that was exposed. Yeah. That's why he got his throat slit, was to reveal that this is just petty organized crime. These guys aren't brilliant. They're not, you know. Yeah, go ahead with your question.
My question is, first of all, I think the secret is they worship Lucifer.
Yes,
that's something we all need to ground ourselves in. My question is, we now have created PMAs ourselves. And as someone that does not want to become one with these creatures, but that wants to be completely different from these creatures and moving in alignment with a God of love and goodness and kindness, how do we separate ourselves from everything both of you gentlemen have described tonight, when it turns out we're creating the very same structure they have used to gain their power, their Luciferian power?
A great question.
We have to battle the dark with the light, and not in the inverted way the Gnostic groups will tell you that their light is. But to stop participating in their system, we have to stop using the U.S. person they gave us.
Let me put it real simply. Can you fight the Matrix while you're plugged in a pod, experiencing a grand delusion, thinking you're free in a simulation, a complete hypocrisy? Do you think that you can battle the dark forces that put you into that from within it while being a public citizen of it?
What have we done here, though, with the PMA? Have we stepped into it? Have we stepped into this pile of shit?
The PMA.
No, remember, private means foreign from.
Yes, and the PMA, and that the machine where you plug in the Matrix, like the movie, right?
Right,
that's the U.S. person. And so the PMA is you unplugging. And so we can have our private economies. We can have our private associations.
We're at the beginning. I mean, really, I truly believe that, like these people, and I'm not convinced that all Masons are, I don't think evil people become Masons and no one else, right? I believe at some point, when we read about the Knights of the Round Table, when we read about these things that were designed to, you know, to fight against evil, this is why I keep saying the only way we're going to fight this thing is to be separate from it in the first place. So we're at the beginning of forming something here, in my opinion.
Okay,
and I can't clearly see it yet, but we're pretty much forming something not dissimilar, but not also not secret. We don't have to be secret that we're wanting to stop child molestation by the church. We don't want to be secret that we want to stop horrible, horrible things from happening, but we can't do it from the public. It's been proven over and over to us that we cannot do it from the public because the public provides protection for the private. The private is the guardian and the maker of the public and the public law. How do we fight evil people hiding behind privacy when the public, all we have to do it in is the public venue? We cannot, we will never win or harm or do any good by having a 501c3 churches that can't even talk about politics in the public.
I agree 100%. Yes.
So it's what you do. It's not, the PMA is not like, it's a shiny badge. That's all it is. It's like holding up the cross. If I hold up the cross to a vampire, but I don't believe in God, is that vampire going to be scared? He's going to be like, it's just a symbol. That symbol means nothing because you don't have any faith in it. You're not doing anything to prove yourself. So it's how you, and this allows you to act. Now, how you act is up to you. And I think along the way, we're going to have to relearn how to be men again, male and female.
Yes.
How to be the tribe of man and sons of God again. We've lost that. So this is the beginning, in my opinion. And, yes. And I might be wrong. We might be killed tomorrow for saying so. I don't know.
Right. I mean, we are talking about very dangerous players here. And the stuff I just shared really shouldn't be shared publicly, but I'm not scared of these people. And
I would die to expose this. I would die to stop these people. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So I will make this information public. But really, all the books I cited from, they're accessible to all of us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They have to put it in plain sight a lot of times. And to go back to your original question, why would we use a PMA to go against these PMAs? Well, I'll give you one example. I won't say their name, but a couple of women that I'm working with, I won't even describe fully what they're doing, but let's just put it this way. We are using their PMA but we will use it to work against the people they are victimizing. Someone in the chat says it's essentially a tool, right? So whoever hands it's in would make it either good or bad. Yes, exactly. Just like the gun.
So do not let anybody infiltrate your private association like they do groups like We Are Change or InfoWars or all these crappy, things that are set up to distract us.
Yes.
Keep it private, keep it non-leader. The thing about a PMA a lot of times is again, it's not really a leader per se, although you do agree to certain things. So it's very interesting the way it can work.
I had this come up in terms of my people requesting membership in my PMA. I'm brand new to this, but I decided to put this section in that says, by signing this membership request form, I affirm that I am not a member of any group that is seeking world domination, foments wars, has a desire or agenda to destroy the white race, is plotting for the destruction of the US or any other nation, promotes or participates in pedophilia or sexual debauchery, seeks to enslave or control humanity, is attempting to genocide whole nations through wireless weaponry or use of poisonous medicine or vaccines. So I made this whole list of things to try to keep them out from
You might just want to say are not members of another private association. And if you are, you will disclose it.
Oh, that's a great point.
Right, or private group, private anything, private club, government, non-governmental,
Right now, I've joined other PMAs, like Beth's PMA, where I heard through you last night. And so if they say yes, they're part of another PMA, that doesn't necessarily mean they're part of the
So you agree to disclose all The problem there, of course, is you know, if you take an oath to one for secrecy. So yeah, it gets problematic. There is a reason they call these things a trust, you know.
Yes.
I think we were talking about earlier the solution to the, for instance, the banking problem, and that is private banking, because I mean, if you're not using any of the magical tools and trickery of the Federal Reserve, if you're holding the money like voluntarily, I could just have an account and I could say, hey, you want to use my account as your bank? Why not? I'll just, you know, you trust me to just give you your money whenever you need it. If we're all in a trust situation like that, why do we need a bank? Why do we need,
exactly.
And we're, you know, if we're in a co-op with food, if we're doing this PMA over here for, you know, anything, why do we need anything of society that as it is, if we can do it, the same exact thing ourselves and not pay taxes for it, at least, you know, mostly.
Yeah. And that brings up a point, because early in my business life, and I won't go into what that all entailed, but basically me and some millionaires, we created our own economy and we're exchanging with each other. And it was outside of the economy. We created our own parallel economy, guys.
But
this is the power of PMAs.
Isn't that what they've done all along?
This is what they have done all along.
Right.
It's just so
given us the public.
We need to start thinking bigger than just individual PMAs. Yes, everyone does need it. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people do. What they want is through a PMA, but we got to start thinking bigger as a you know, like what I just read about the Masons. See how they think, see how they've structured things. They're foreign to the country. So I'm not sharing this to just show, hey, this is what the Masons are. I'm really just showing you guys what we can do for ourselves, not being evil, but trying to counteract what is out there.
I think this what this really is.
Yeah, I have
if
a comment
honest,
too, Brandon.
If we're being yes. honest, this is the difference between taking an oath to the state and taking an oath to God. That's what the difference is here.
Yes.
If I say I'm taking an oath to God on my soul that I will support and love and protect you and everybody in my, if you want to call it association, purview, whatever, my community, whatever. There's a big difference between that and making a legal law that states that, right?
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
one is an action, one is an almost like an inaction. It's like it's what has caused us, like we're in this public government, we're in this public state because we don't trust one another. We can't trust one another. We're brought up from birth to be competitive. We're brought up from birth to hate one another, to always try to step on one another to get ahead. That's what we have to break. That's the conditioning we have to break, because that is what these people have done to us. And the only way we're going to get out of that is to stop thinking that way, stop acting that way towards one another, follow the law, the highest law, charity, forgiveness, love, right? And if we can, I mean, eventually, I think the whole idea would be to get rid of money altogether. Until then, of course, you're going to have to operate somewhat in their system. And so that's what we're trying to provide, is a way to do that without actually being stuck in it and bound by it.
Compromised. Yeah, so Raven, you wanted to say something?
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to comment, because I'm the person Brandon was mentioning before, working with different ladies who are using the PMA to basically combat the system that has been used to really victimize us. Being survivors of ritualistic abuse and growing up in a secret society, you see it very clearly how they really separate everything. And as Brandon was reading that last quote, the thing that just kept coming to me is just like the hive mind, and like if you've ever watched Star Trek, the Borg being assimilated into the Borg, they just have this race that you get assimilated into, and you're just completely disconnected from everything else, and you're in this animalistic place where you're just ravaging everything around you because you are at the top of the podium, like you're top of the totem pole. So it's really just giving the power back to the people that it's been stripped from, and taking it from the oppressors and giving it to the people that have been oppressed in it. And I think it really just goes down to the people and how you're going to use it and how much you trust yourself and being aware and listening to those gut feelings when it feels like somebody's off. And the thing that I loved when I first met Brandon was he said PMAs are more about who you exclude instead of who you include. And I really love that, because creating a 501c3, which is exactly where we were going to go, it was like, you're so limited in what you can do and what you can speak out of, where we are serious about talking about real struggles and real horrific crimes that are being committed.
Unimaginable.
So we need to have as much safety and protection as that they have been using against us our entire lives.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect answer to the previous question. Are we delving into their world so much that we become like them? Or are we using a satanic tool? And the answer is absolutely not. It's how you use it. It's your intention that matters. And the other thing, what you'll find within the Patriot Radio and everything, is especially with the InfoWars, is that they're always telling you to change the world, not to change yourself, but to change government. Let's you know, a new government for all people. Let's change all people. Let's change. No. This is all about discretion. This is all about exclusion. This is about a special, special group of people who will be a minority. Even the Bible talks about the remnant, right? You're not going to change the world. This system is created for those who cannot self-govern, who do not have the power or the will to self-govern. And if you go back and you look at quotes from presidents who say you will be governed by God or men, it is your choice. You know, this system is set up for those who cannot ever possibly govern themselves. And what we're talking about is governing ourselves. And you can do that two ways, right? And it's all based on your intention and who is your God. These people, their God is not the same God as ours. So
yes,
that's all I can. I mean, again, it's all about your intention and what
developing your personal discernment and really being able to decipher what level people are compromised and how they're being used by, because literally it's spiritual warfare. Like that's what it is.
I've had to deal with witches and warlocks through various times of my life. They've tried to bring me down ever since I was young. And that still continues. You know, this past summer, I had to deal with some things, let's say, with these creatures. And so this is very real, guys. And because I'm such a proponent of the stuff I talk about and how spiritually I am aligned with my beliefs, you have to have faith in God, or else a PMA or any of that stuff won't mean anything. That I'm convinced it is that way, because now I hear all a lot in the world, they talk about manifestation, but that's bullshit. Manifestation is not what people say it is. It's not even a real thing. You do not give yourself existence of something. You do not create that. There's a verse in Matthew, I can't remember the exact passage, but I believe it's in Matthew, where it says, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, when you pray for something and you believe God will give it to you, it will be given to you. So I always have to remind myself of that.
I think the other real challenge is to never let the association itself become a simulacra, something that takes upon itself the importance, whereas you start forgetting about that it's actually a group of people. You never want to, like, the Mormons support the Mormon church, not each other. They hate each other. Trust
yeah.
me. I got Mormon neighbors. They freaking hate each other. They've got an assessor that comes along and makes sure that every year that they're paying 10% tithing to the church out of their taxes.
Yes.
This is all about the church, the corporation, the entity. We must never allow that to happen. Oh, well, this is my association. I want it to have this picture, and this is how it looks, and this, oh, and oh, look, it's wonderful. Meanwhile, everybody that joined it is starving or not getting anything from. No, it has to be about the people. That, right, that word is of course overused, but it has to be about who is in the trust, why we are in it, and that is to support one another, not people outside of it, right? I'm sorry, they're on their own, they can come join the trust, but you must do as the Bible says, which is exclude, or in other words, circumcise, meaning separate yourself from the world, the secular world that does not allow you to act under that highest law. You cannot practice Christianity, true Christianity, in a secular place that forces churches to be 501c3. I'm sorry, yeah. You cannot possibly call yourself anything that's biblical, because you can't act the part. You're a hypocrite. Yeah. You have to be. The law is designed to make you hypocritical, to make you hate, to make you competitive, to make nothing about it. It is 100% opposed to the Bible law, and that's why it's so important to understand. And that's why it's so important to understand this quote, that now as then, Masonry's challenge is the Holy Bible. That is such an important quote, I can't even tell you.
Wow, very powerful. Yeah, thanks for joining, everyone. And yeah, I do this weekly. If you guys aren't in my Telegram is safehaven.pma. That's where I have a lot of unlisted videos that's not even on my YouTube. And then, Clint, where can people find you?
Here.
Yeah, you're here every week. So,
It's funny because I'll be opening a private website.
Yeah.
PMA website where I want to put all my work, future books and stuff, but I don't have that settled yet.
Yeah.
For now, just... realityblogger.wordpress.com is my blog, with one G. Strawmanstory.info, you can download the book, and Red Pill Sunday School on BitChute.
Yeah.
YouTube, and Odyssey is the one I update with most of my shows and stuff.
And guys, I know Clint gives away his book for free, but guys, give him a donation if you download it. Please do, because you're going to be shocked when you look at how much work he has put into this one book. That's just one of his books. So he has earned the donation, I think. So you guys, definitely be gratuitous to this guy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I will see everyone later.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
All right, guys. See ya.